Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit health, and how that allows us to make a bigger contribution in the area of purpose that calls to us. Because these are times that are asking us to evolve beyond the systems and paradigms that are collapsing. These are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. And today I wanted to share a talk I gave in April at a spiritual center in Carbondale. A spiritual center is a non-denominational group that meets every Sunday at the Third Street Center. I speak there about twice a year, and in this talk, I wanted to explore the earth-based themes of Easter and their guidance for these times. These times when we need to evolve to bring balance and stewardship to the ecosystems that support our very existence. Here's that talk now.
So I remember when I chose Easter as a date to join you all again, this was way back in February, and I intuitively knew there was something really potent about the timing. And it's just been a real gift to do a deep dive into the metaphysics of Easter and the equinox and this moment in our human evolution. So metaphysics, I just had to remind myself, is a branch of philosophy studying the fundamental nature of reality, existence, and being. It investigates the abstract foundational concepts that science cannot measure. And this is important because what will come next for humanity will largely be based on what we cannot currently measure or scientifically predict. So Homo sapiens have existed for about 250,000 years. The time since Jesus lived is only about 2,000 years and has been this time of hyper-development, with global resource extraction more than tripling in just the last 50 years, from 27 billion tons in 1970 to over 100 billion tons today. And from a Newtonian cause and effect standpoint of kind of scientifically measuring how this might play out, there's not much chance of human survival at this point. But many believe we are being prepared to make a quantum leap in our evolution. And this quantum leap will be energetic, or a factor of our consciousness. We will go from the three-dimensional beings that we are so familiar with to five-dimensional beings or beyond. And we can't yet imagine that, you know, or what will make that possible. In these new dimensions, space and time collapse, and all possible versions of our timeline become accessible. And even that, we have a hard time really grokking. Some of you might remember the movie Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
They started to explore that time-space continuum collapse in that movie, and it's really fascinating, but you're like, what is going on? Because we just don't have the context for it. These new dimensions are considered spiritual realms, with 5D associated with unconditional loving unity, which of course has been at the core of all wisdom traditions. But again, we have very few glimpses of what that actually could mean. Ancient prophecies from indigenous peoples like the Hopi to the Hindu cosmology of the Kali Yuga point to this time on the planet as one of civilizational collapse and new beginnings. And collapse is kind of brutal. Whether it's collapse of the ego or collapse of the material, there's just no way of getting around the pain involved. But being reminded of this deeper context going on has been really helpful and comforting for me, so I hope for you too. Richard Rudd, the founder of the Gene Keys system, that's a matrix for human evolution, describes a deep ongoing two-year 2026-2027 mutation cycle, which focuses on the restructuring of human consciousness, a phoenix era of breakdown, purification, and rebirth. Astrologer Pam Gregory, some of you may be familiar with her, and many others she has interviewed describe the past March equinox as the beginning of the greatest leap in human consciousness ever. So this is what we're in. And many of us have been feeling it for a long time, studying it. And there are messages that I'm excited to share. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Jesus story and teachings. And it's not important that we accept Jesus as a real person or a prophet or a state of consciousness, sometimes referred to as the Christ consciousness or God consciousness. What's important are the messages within all these ways of understanding these teachings and stories that have rippled through the ages and can give us a context and possibilities for the immense challenges that we face right now. So happy Easter. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox. And Passover, the Jewish holiday, which we're in right now, happens at a similar time, celebrates the liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. Easter celebrates, of course, the resurrection of Jesus. As the story goes, he was crucified on Good Friday, rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And previous to Christianity, and around the same time as it came to Northern Europe, there's some evidence of a celebration of a spring pagan goddess, Yoster, highlighting themes of new life, fertility, a time of creation, birth, eggs, bunnies, the whole nine yards. Paganism was and is an earth-based, nature-based religion, and significantly about the divinity in all forms of life, more akin to the indigenous cultural worldviews. An important thing about evolution is that it includes and expands upon previous belief systems and ways of operating. So it has this inclusive nature to it. It's not linear, though. It can be two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. But the larger arc of evolution, everything that came before is included in what comes next. So we see the pagan equinox themes included in contemporary celebrations of Easter. So back to Jesus. The story of his life can be thought of as a blueprint or a metaphor for our collective evolution as humanity, our ascent or to divinity, or our acceptance of our innate divinity, you know, that truth of who we are as humans, fully human and fully divine, fully embodied in both. And this is actually how Jesus referred to himself and his experience of God. And if you look carefully at what he said, you know, it's been so changed and co-opted and retranslated and reinterpreted over time. But he called himself not the Son of God, the Son of Man. Called himself the Son of Man, no different than other men and women. And his use of the term the Father is thought to mean, you know, that it's not literal, but to represent, and this is how in Aramaic the Father is used, to represent the ultimate universal source of all life. It was meant to be about consciousness and the divine mind. So not this other being that we've you know, sort somehow latched on to, and it's created more and more duality and distance between ourselves and spirit. And this was interesting to me when when Moses had his encounter with God, he asked for a name, like, oh, what's your name? You know, like how we think about that, you know, it's like we think of this separate being. But the scriptures say that God answered, I am that I am. And spiritual teachers and philosophers have been unpacking this I am or spiritual consciousness ever since. And, you know, it's something I've heard and well heard here and there for a long time, but I hadn't really stopped to really dig into what does that really mean?
This is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. Today, you're hearing a talk I gave this spring on the evolutionary themes of Easter and how they can guide us in the midst of the deep restructuring and transformation going on for humanity. Here's the rest of that talk now.
So metaphysically, Easter symbolizes the resurrection of the I am spiritual consciousness within humanity and marks a transition from this material bondage of 3D and this sort of resurrection or transfiguration into this triumph of the eternal life of the soul. So the death is about the death of materiality. And this, you know, light-filled transfiguration is this ascent into these new realms, this new experience of love. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he was likely speaking as the original quantum physicist, referring to the I am as this spiritual consciousness that illumines the world and all life forms. There's no separation. So I am is that Christ consciousness, that unity consciousness. Neville Goddard was a modern mystic who wrote in the 50s and 60s about the evolution of consciousness. He was one of the pioneers of new thought and shaping the world through imagination. He linked feeling to thought as the secret to causing reality to conform to internal belief. So he's that guy. He also called I am the bridge between the human and the divine. And he called the second coming of Jesus the awakening of the creative power within the individual. He interpreted the crucifixion as God limiting itself to the state of humanity to experience and transform reality. So this is actually what this gift of the Christ story is, that, you know, going through that human experience of death and not as an ending, but as a beginning, as a continuation of evolution.
Could you read that again, that phrase?
the interpretation of the crucifixion as God limiting itself to the state of humanity to experience and transform reality. So I am is mirrored in the foundational great saying Tat Tvam Asi from the ancient Hindu scriptures, the Upanishads, which means thou art that, or I am that, meaning that the individual soul or Atman is identical to the ultimate reality or Brahman. This speaks to non-dualistic oneness. Again, unity consciousness, this understanding leads to the state of Turiya, which is the I am state of oneness. We also see I am or universal consciousness in Taoist understanding, that individual consciousness is a manifestation of the eternal, nameless Tao, or the way, expressing itself as experience. Eckhart Tolle speaks about the Tao in his books The New Earth and The Power of Now as present moment awareness. So we see this, like, you know, rippling through again so much of our understanding of the metaphysical reality. So leaving 3D awareness is not easy, as we're experiencing. This is the dark night of the soul that so many teachers experience. And it requires a leap of faith and a surrender of ego that is often brutal and painful. If we look at the trajectory of human evolution, we see the eons it has taken to keep playing out these shadows of separation, and how long it has taken, the failures, but the steady progress forward, the moral arc of the universe that bends toward justice, as Martin Luther King said. And, you know, Jesus certainly, you know, such a big part of this story was his temptation and agony and despair around feeling abandoned by spirit. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion. And this was that intense, just emotional and physical anguish. He was said to be sweating drops of blood, all in, you know, just trying to get to that place where he could really leave behind his concept of humanity and be able to step into the flow of God's will. And so he shows that he had this human fear of physical pain and death. You know, he wasn't immune to that. None of us are. He was feeling this fear of abandonment, the fear of collapse, you know, loss of all the comforts and what he had known. But this was part of what's called that conversion or the awakening process of merging with the absolute. The ego was in its death throes, which culminated in the transfiguration, really merging with the light. It's funny, it's like that's what everybody who's had a near-death experience describes. Emerging with light. That sounds great to me. I'm excited about that.
They never want to come back.
There's also the story of St. Paul. He had a similar conversion on the road to Damascus. And he said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So this is that experience of he saw the light. He was, you know, an awful person who was persecuting all kinds of people and had this experience and was able to leave that all behind and become this instrument of love. So conversion, as it's biblically called, is a shift in consciousness from egocentric, non-dual awareness. And there's this significant influx of spiritual light, often described as higher frequency energy, consciousness, awakening. And this is frequently described as the transition from the 3D material focused reality to the 5D heart-centered consciousness way of existing. So Jesus's experience was about this victory, but many have called it, and it's called that he entered this field of love, which sounds very energetic and quantum. Mm-hmm. But some have called it a birthing field. So it wasn't sort of a final thing. It was this field of love that had the capacity to birth others through it, or even all of humanity. So that's what I'm feeling like is happening in this time, is we're starting to get not only scientific awareness of what's possible in these higher frequencies, but what's possible for us spiritually in birthing a whole new reality. And again, we don't have the words for it, but we've been given these glimpses. I had a really powerful experience on the equinox. It was my last day of cross-country skiing. I was up on the Grand Mesa, and it was a gorgeous, bright bluebird. The light, the sunlight was so crystalline and strong. And at one point, I just stopped and faced the sun, and I felt this burning away of everything that I'd been praying about letting go of for so long in my life. And I felt filled by this sacred light. And it's something that I'll never forget the feeling of. And I feel like that's something that happened and is accessible to all of us. It's just about, it takes so much trust to know that we are ultimately cared for and loved, and this experiment of being human is not one that's meant to be about suffering, although it can include suffering. Suffering mainly comes when we resist what's going on. But when we give ourselves to it, the pain becomes transfiguring and allows for a whole new possibility. And this is a lot of what I think the equinox was about, was allowing us to trust our intuition more, our inner knowing, because it's not going to come from the typical measured scientific explanations or predictions of what could be. It's going to come from us knowing and trusting that we're evolving, and it's beautiful. And it's about opening our hearts to a greater experience of love and inclusivity. And when that happens, we can overcome that fear of death, that fear of what we're losing or leaving behind. So I want to end with a ritual. And this is a ritual that I've adapted from several different rituals. One is an Andean ritual called Chalico, which is about gifting the earth with our love. It also incorporates a teaching I was given about the pineal gland and how that's been called the seat of the soul. It's right in the center of our brain behind our third eye and is a transmitter throughout our whole body of spiritual consciousness. So I have this bowl.
We're going to do a little guided meditation. Get in touch with our heart and our pineal gland. And then we'll be offering the love that we are generating into the water. So each person will come up and you can just put this energy, whatever's there for you after this meditation. I'll let you know when. And you can just put your fingertips mm-hmm. in the water and mm-hmm. let the love flow into that water. And then we're going to gift the water to the grass outside. This is spring water that I've collected in marble. And it has some sage in it from mm-hmm. Red Hill. And it also has some ash in it from a sacred ceremony in India that I've held on to for many years. And I have this little bit of ash. So that's what's in the water, and soon our love energy will be in it, and we will give that back to the earth.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find The Inner Game on Apple Podcasts, on the KDNK.org website, and on my website, GwenGarcelon.com. That's GwenGarcelon.com for all my other offerings, including my annual nature retreat in September, which offers a powerful container to go deeper with the themes in the talk you just heard. The theme music for the podcast is from Peter Mayer. And until next time, consider the possibility that this time of breakdown may be about a breakthrough to a deeper experience of love.
Waves are crashing, rivers churning, planets twirling, stars ablaze, storms are raging, atoms whirling.